I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 9, 17 through 19. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more.
Thanks, Tyler. Good morning. As the profession I've chose now, which is to be a salesperson, we are a goal-oriented group. Our daily life is built upon numbers and achievements and ends. Not the way we start, it's how we finish that matters. And in this, there are reasons to do it. We have a lot of reasons through the week, through the months, that they give us to perform. Not just to perform to do good, do well in your job, but to perform as a rule. These are the promotions that last 8 weeks, so we can make a little extra money. These are what we call spiffs, which is a price per case or an incentive. Other things to go out and entice us to work harder and sell more. This works pretty much as a rule for those that are willing to go out and do their job and try to work these promotions, to follow what they have in front of them, to follow a path to get where they're going. But there are still those who choose to get up and go to work, which is wonderful, and now that I am in charge of people, I appreciate those people more and more, but who fall short of their goal each week, each month, each day, each year. For those people, they sit back, they wait for their reward to come to them. Sit back and hope it goes good. Maybe something will happen. Just by luck, I could possibly have something go right, and it'll work out good for me. As a Christian, should you sit back and wait for things to go right for you? And please think about this as I go through this morning, because this is where it's based. Do you sit back and do you wait for the blessings of Christ? Because He gives them to us every day. Do you sit back and do you wait? Or do you take a step to seek those blessings out, to make yourself something that God wants, to become that Christian? We do need a goal each day. As a Christian, as a human being, you need to have something pushing you. Something to say, you know, I'm really glad I got up today because I get to do this. For those of you who are looking for careers, I hope that when you find one, you can say, you know, I'm getting up, I'm doing this, and it's pretty great. It's not going to be great every day, but it's pretty great. And you know, you get up and you say, I got to go to work. I got to work for my Lord. Now, as a Christian, you have that opportunity each and every day, whether your job is something you would have rather not done in life, but that you're doing to get by, which is fine too. But you have that opportunity. It's there for you as a Christian. You can step up each morning and say, I got one more day to prove myself worthy to go to heaven to be with Christ. One more day. He's given me whatever time I have to get up out of my bed and be given that. Should you try to be a pleasure for God? Just as you would somebody you work for daily. Should you try each day to be a pleasure for God? Do you get up with the intent of being God's best worker that day? You're told to. Do you do that? Do you wake up with that in your mind? I'm so glad I've got one more day. Do you wake up with that? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Told, stand up. Go to work for God. Be proud of who you are. Does God know I'm working for him? You know, sometimes when you're trying to do the right thing, you get stepped on a little bit. You know, those times you're getting stepped on, is God seeing you? I mean, do you have the faith that you know he's seeing you? Because he does. He sees you up in front. He sees everything that happens. God knows who's working for him. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Had an aunt, pass away just recently. Great lady. Had a whole bunch of kids, and all of them are just pretty neat people. It's one of them actually sang at our wedding, and he, by chance, would be my favorite cousin in that side. But super lady, and she had all kinds of little sayings that she lived by, tons of them. One of those is that your sins will find you. When they said that at the funeral, that's a pretty profound statement. This is a lady that got her GED. And all her kids are beyond a level of intelligence that I'll ever be at. But your sins will find you. I thought that's just a pretty profound statement. There is nothing in this life you do that is a secret. You may sneak around to do it, but your sins will find you. Now, how's that for something to say on a Sunday morning? Your sins will find you. You cannot walk away from it. We do not ever commit a secret sin. Okay? You may do it where no one's around, where few are around. God sees it. In that, as a Christian, are you told to not do the sin? Are you told to not commit the sin? As a Christian, in your heart, when you're committing the sin, first you know you're doing it. Okay? It's on you. It's right there on you. You know you're doing it. We're told not to. Abhor evil, cling to that which is good. Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. What in that statement says that sin's all right? It's a quiet group. We had a great class this morning, by the way. Just great class. We really did. And thank you to everybody that was involved in that. But it was a great class. And as we go farther on, I just want to make sure I said that out loud. We have people that walk through their life carrying the excuse bag over their shoulder. You know, you always have these things, and I'm sure you've talked to a telemarketer, how we love them, that has a rebuttal book in front of it. They have an answer for whatever you say that's a no. Well, I can't. My husband's not here. Well, let's call him. How about we get him on the phone? I can send you a three-way. And we'll discuss this with him. My wife's not here. She usually makes those decisions. Well, we can call her too. That's okay. We'll just transfer out. Do you have her number at work? Always an excuse. It's called a rebuttal book. This is an excuse bag. We have a promotion that paid out wonderfully. Say it was just something super great for the salespeople now. And that does happen once in a while. I used to complain about it, but it really happened once in a while. I love the folks that are all in the same room that I am in that say, I never heard that. No one told me. No one told me I could make an extra $50 by doing this. You know, 75 of us, and we're all in the same room. All of us. All day long. Some paying attention, some sleeping, some doodling. I'm usually a doodler. But we all are there. Everybody hears it. Now, as a Christian, I didn't know it. Nobody told me. How could I have known that? Left out. I wasn't there. Are you sure that they said it? How often do you hear this stuff? Come on. Now, all of you are kind of smirking here. So you know it's baloney. What a weak excuse. That's terrible. Students, you've got them. I've got kids. I didn't know about that. Come on. You knew about it. I'm not quiet. In Romans 10:18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into the earth, and the words into the ends of the world. Is no excuse. Show yourself presentable to God. Wake up with that want to in the morning. Have that fire in you. And I'm not saying you have to go out and give the whole world a hug. Stand up and try to be something that God approves of. Be that person that God wants to have. I mean, this is a very plain statement. Now, also, I don't get a lot of opportunities through the week that I see as opportunities, and maybe I do. There's an excuse right there. The opportunities I don't pick up on. Let's go with that. As a Christian in the workplace, I do discuss some things once in a while, and I have some friends, some very good friends that I work with. And one you've heard me speak about does a lot of great things. When he and I first met each other, he was in the stages of recovering from being an alcoholic, and I spoke about Jay before, but his thought of church and of God was, how can Christians be happy? You know, you live your whole life in service. He said, He says, you know, I can't get up and have another. He said, I'm just trying to straighten things out. I can't get up with another set of rules to go on. It's all I can do to get up and not grab a bottle and go forward. I can't take any more rules. Now, as a Christian, do you see yourself feeling that way? I don't feel when I get up that I have God's service and duty list weighting me down. I mean, if any of you feel that way, please come forward at the end. Because we need to help you. All right? You shouldn't feel that way. God doesn't give you burdens. God gives you help. You know, these aren't duties. These are actual gifts to get you where we want to be. And his phrase was, how can that be a good life in service? Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, you know, I have friends that their parents are living away from me now. And I know that I'm considered family by them. Excuse me. That's an important thing for me. So to be a son through the Heavenly Father, an heir to His throne, by doing those things that you can be given and that we are given daily, how is that a burden? You know, show thy father approved. I want to be that person. Our life is a small, short bit of time. As I'm getting older, and I'm not as old as some of you, but I'm getting there, and my goal is to proceed forward. Our life is very short. I am going to be turning 40 this August. That really used to seem darn old. Now I really can't even picture it being halfway. So knowing that, knowing how quick 40 is getting here. And it really has been quick. There's been some times in my life that I thought were so slow and long. And now when I look back, I can't believe that it went this fast. I mean, it really has smoked by. I can remember to this second, sitting in class as a senior in high school and saying, when it hits 2000, I'm going to be 32 years old. What? I can't believe it. 32. Now, haven't seen 32 for the last, 6 years, 7 years. I never will again. Christians have a great death. Another phrase from Jay. You know, they die super. He said, but you know, they live rotten. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? I said, Jay, I remember us two being in the car, 5 hours, one way, and maybe that was a blessing from God because I have a great friend and he's going the way that he needs to go. But I said, Jay, do I seem unhappy? I'm not. You know, I had been coming here 7 years before I met Jay. And I'm sure that was in God's plan. That somewhere down the line he and I would get a chance to talk. And I'm thankful to this point that I didn't blow it when I got that chance. You know, Christians have a great death. I said, Jay, I think Christians can have a great life. You know, our life isn't derived on monetary gain. It shouldn't be either. You know, you shouldn't worry about it if you've got enough to live. And God bless you if you've got enough to go out and eat once in a while. That'd be great too, as a food salesman. Okay? God gives you the things you need. And will always give you the things you need as long as you're working for Him to provide it. That does not mean you can sit back and say, oh, I hope someone feeds me today. Those that don't work shouldn't eat. And I do mean that. Those that can't work should have help so that they can get back on their feet and earn their keep. Someone that has earned something will always be more appreciative of it than someone that has given something. To my life and to my breath, that is how I wake up in the morning. Christ died for us. He died for our sins. We are to, and in my mind and soul, to earn our way to heaven. He has given us that gift that is ours for the taking. We simply need to walk forward, grab that gift, hold on to it, and give Christ the blessings that He needs for us to join Him. What does Christ do for us? And we talked about this in class. Another reason class was great. Also, it helped my talk. We talked about forgiveness today in class. Forgiveness, true forgiveness. And as a Christian, forgiveness, right there, is one of the hardest, most difficult things you were ever given as a Christian. It's the hardest blessing to receive. It's the hardest blessing to give. Forgiveness. To the truly repentant soul, when you are asked for forgiveness, you are to forgive. Can you hold that inside you and know that you have forgiven someone? Because forgiveness doesn't stop from the day that you do it. Forgiveness continues on each day that you are here on this life. Christ has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. First of all, when you ask forgiveness of Christ, you need to forgive yourself. That forgiveness needs to come right from inside. You're forgiven. Know that. All right? I don't know how else to say it, but know it. Know that you've been forgiven when you ask. Because that's part of the faith and hope that God gives us, is that hope of forgiveness. As somebody granting forgiveness, forgiveness is the peroxide that cleans the wound. Okay? It is the healing that begins when you say, I forgive you. It is the part of your life that is starting to heal. Because it's a tough, tough thing to forgive someone that has wronged you and to put that forward. Tough. That wound will heal. That scar will show. We all have scars somewhere. That is a wound that is healed. That is forgiveness in action. Okay, you will always maybe have a scar. It'll fade. It fades into the background. Forgiveness has allowed that scar to heal and let that wound cover so that you could not worry about the wound healing, wherever it is, and go on to be a worker and an absolute pleasure for Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can tell you for the first time that I am 100% sure that I am a Christian. I know it in my heart and soul, and I feel it every place in me. I have believed in Christ since I was baptized in this church and before that. But I could tell you now that I am a Christian with no doubt. I am not a perfect Christian. Wow. Well, long ways from that. But I am a Christian. I don't always feel I'm deserving of that blessing. But you know, Christ gave it to all of us. I'm not always nice. I'm a little confrontational. Strong-willed, hard-headed. Kelly said I have small ears. From there, I am still that Christian. That was part of a great class. Please, that was, he knows what I'm talking about. Having forgiveness and hope as a Christian. What more can you possibly need? You know, wake up in the morning. Wake up in the morning and know in your heart that you don't carry burdens. Give those burdens up to God. Stand up and pray in the morning. And I mean stand up and pray in the morning. Pray on the way to work. Pray as you're walking out to have that coffee. Whatever you do. You know, open up that life to pray and forgiveness. Because once that sets in, that's a great way to be. Having forgiveness and hope, being able to receive the gifts and forgiveness that God brings, and the faith of the hope of God. You know what, as Christians, I was told this a long time ago, and it was from one of my best friend's father. He says, you know, as a Christian, there's one thing you'll always need to remember. As a human being, you are built so that the front is the part with texture. Okay, and I've always thought about that. So the front is the part with texture. So, guys with a belly, the front is the part with texture. The back is flat. Alright? The things that you see in front of you each day are the blessings that you have to receive. Your back is for things to slide off of because it's flat. It always stuck with me. You have a flat back for a reason. Things behind you are gone. Now they may need to be healed. They may need to be thought of and prayed on. But they're gone. They're behind you. As a Christian, your blessings are in front of you. What we have waiting in front of us is the heavenly kingdom. And I want to be there to greet them all. If we can help you in any way, if you would like to become part of God's family, we welcome you forward as we stand and we sing the last hymn.